I've got a few questions for the young people here. First question is, we'll start with a football-related question. What are some good qualities that a football player needs? What are some good qualities that a football player needs? Well, let's just say any sports person. What's a sport that you two like? Tennis? Volleyball? Yeah. What are some qualities that a good volleyball player or football player or a sports person needs? Any ideas? Do you think they need to be hardworking? Yeah. Strong. Any other answers from the grown-ups? What do you think?
Skillful.
Yeah. Sorry? Yeah. They need to be a team player. Yeah.
Enthusiastic.
Yeah. What are some qualities they mustn't have? Sorry? Yeah, that's another positive one. What are some negative things that a good sports player shouldn't have?
Aggression.
Yeah, aggression. Yeah. Or maybe the wrong type of aggression. Yeah. Like, in the wrong way. Yeah. Sorry?
Bad sportsmanship.
Yeah.
Laziness.
Yeah, they wouldn't be very good if they were lazy and didn't practice. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, selfish. If they always want to be the one to score the goal and don't pass or score the point in volleyball, then they're not going to be a good player. Okay, what about a person in general? What are some good qualities and bad qualities that a person should have? I don't want you to give me any answers now because I've got a little activity for you. This is just for you. You don't have to share this with anyone. But I'm going to give you an envelope, okay?
That's what it is, James.
Okay, I'll tell you what it is and then you can decide. So, inside here are just some bits of paper with words on. There are positive qualities and negative qualities. And I want you to imagine that this envelope is like your heart, okay? And I want you to imagine your heart is a bit like a fruit tree, okay? And if you have a fruit tree, there are the good qualities are like the fruits that you want the fruit tree to produce. And the bad qualities are like the bits of the tree that you need to snip off. We call that pruning, where you snip off the bad bits to make the good bits produce even more fruit. So all I want you to do is go through it and do a bit of pruning, and you can chuck in the bin here bits that you think you would like to not have as part of your character, that you'd like to get rid of, and keep all the positive ones. Okay? Anyone like to have a go now you've heard what it is? Okay, don't worry, I'll leave them there. Okay, no one, you don't have to share your answers. This is just for you, and I want you to try and take this seriously. Think about, in your life, what ways would you like to change? What things would you like more of in your character? And what things do you think you feel you should get rid of? So it's just a way for you to just reflect on this a little bit. I'll give you a couple of minutes to do that.
Okay.
So I'm just going to read, as we've got a spare envelope, I'm just going to read some of these things. And you can tell me whether I should bin them, whether they're bits of the fruit tree that we want to cut off, or whether they're fruits that we want to have more of, okay? Bravery. Keep that one. Loyalty. Keep. Joy. Yeah, that's a fruit that we want. It's all been positive ones so far. Self-control. Yeah, that's a fruit. We want that. Oh, you're right. Fear. What do you think about that one? Fear. Anna thinks we should keep it. I guess it depends what type of fear it is, isn't it? sometimes a bit of there's a healthy fear, isn't there? And then sometimes there's an unhealthy fear where we don't need to be afraid. So maybe that one depends a bit. Okay, yeah, that's a good one. We've got cowardice. Bin it, okay. I shouldn't play volleyball, that's for sure. Lying. Bin that one. Okay. Selfishness. Bin it. Okay, one more. Determination. Keep that one, yeah. Okay, we're going to come back to that. We're going to do our reading now, which is all on this theme that we've begun to look at. We're going to read from John chapter 15 and read verses 1 to 11. And I believe Ben is, are you going to come and help us with that? Brilliant. So John chapter 15 verses 1 to 11.
I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, or every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown in the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you'll remain in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you that this is my joy, be in you, and that your joy may be complete.
Amen. Thank you, Ben. So, as you know, we've been looking at who Jesus said he was, and we're focusing on what we call the I Am sayings of Jesus, which are found in John's Gospel. And here they are. We're going to read them again. We've been reading them each time together to try to memorize them. So let's do that again. We'll read them together. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am the gate. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the vine. Before Abraham was born, I am. So this week, we're looking at the seventh one of those, when Jesus said these words, I am the vine. So we've just had some grapes. Who can tell me what grapes grow on? What do grapes grow on? Vines, yeah. Yeah, as we've had some hints of that already. What are some other types of things that grow on vines? Or what are some other types of vines? Sorry, I didn't hear that. Did someone? Ivy, yeah, ivy. That's a bit of a pesky vine sometimes. It grows up the side of our houses. Tomatoes also grow on vines, don't they? Then there's those vines that Tarzan swings on in the jungle. I don't know what they are. But here Jesus is talking about the type of vine that grapes grow on. And we've got some grape vines in our garden, so I've cut a branch off to bring along. There you go. That's a bit of a grape vine. So why is Jesus talking about grape vines? Well, the main idea is to do with this key word, connected. We probably use that word a lot nowadays to do with our phones and our tablets and that sort of thing, our computers. You can buy a phone and you can install, maybe, I'm not actually sure if you can install apps on it, but you can have a phone, but unless it's connected to a network or connected to the Wi-Fi, to the internet, you can't use it for very much. You might be able to just use it as a calculator and as a clock, but that's about it. It's amazing, isn't it, that this tiny little thing that we hold in our pockets connects us with so much. And we know it's annoying when suddenly you haven't got any network and you're not connected. You can't make calls. You can't contact people. You can't send messages. But this connects us so much. I remember probably back in the 90s when my auntie used to call on the telephone from Australia. And it would be a big thing. We'd all get excited. Oh, Auntie Ruth is calling from Australia. And we'd all gather around the phone. And nowadays, just with this thing in my pocket, I can message her, I can message my cousins, I can see photos of them. It's amazing how this thing connects us with so many people. So we use that word a lot, connected, nowadays. On a grapevine, you have the main trunk, and you have, connected to the main trunk, you have thinner branches. And on those branches is where the grapes grow. And if you look at this one, you can see that a little bit. You've got this main branch. It's not quite a trunk, but the thicker trunk would be lower down. And then can you see these branches growing off it? And if you look carefully, these little things here are the beginnings of grapes. They're tiny, tiny little grapes. I felt bad cutting it off, but I thought it'd be good to bring it in. So they would turn into big bunches of grapes if we let them. But these branches, they have to be connected here. What would happen? It sounds like a silly question, I know, but what's going to happen to this branch that I've cut off, this bit? It's going to dry out, isn't it? And the same is true for these smaller branches. If they get cut off, they're not going to grow, are they? It's not going to produce any fruit. Who could tell me, what is the liquid that travels up the trunk and then out into the branches and then down into these smaller branches? Who knows what that liquid is called? Do you know, Rosa? There's a liquid that travels up. Yeah? Yeah, sap. If you cut off a branch, the sap can no longer go up through the branches and help the whole thing grow and help the grapes to grow and the branch to produce fruit. Like that. So in order to produce grapes, the branches have to stay connected to the vine so that all that goodness from the sap can get to them. So Jesus uses this picture of a grapevine and he says, I am the vine. You are the branches. And he tells us that we need to stay connected to him. So we need to try and understand that. What does he mean that we need to stay connected to him? Jesus said these words on the last night before he was crucified. Jesus and his disciples had been in the upper room. They had just had supper together. And Jesus knows at this point what's going to happen to him. He knows he won't be with his disciples for much longer. But here he's telling them something really important and a little bit mysterious. That even though he's going away, they can continue to stay connected to him. And he tells them that you need to make sure you do that. Stay connected to me. He uses the phrase, remain in me, to talk about this. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. Somehow, therefore, the disciples will be able to stay connected to Jesus, even though he's not going to be there physically with them. And what Jesus said to his disciples is the same for us too. Even though we've never seen Jesus in a physical form, in the body, the Bible tells us that we need to stay connected to him, remain in him. In a way, that's the heart of the wonderful mystery of what it means to be a Christian. If you asked a lot of people, what does it mean to be a Christian? They might say things like, well, to be a Christian means to go to church, to read your Bible, to pray, try to obey God, and all those things are important. They might say, to be a Christian means to believe certain things, and that's certainly true. Or they might say, to be a Christian means that you repent of sin and you trust in Jesus for forgiveness. And that is definitely true. But being a Christian is also this wonderful thing. It really is mysterious. To be a Christian is to be connected to Jesus. If you think about it, that's an amazing thing. It's a bit like having a superpower. The Bible says that a Christian is in Christ and Christ is in us. A Christian looks completely normal on the outside, just like everyone else. It's a bit like Clark Kent or Peter Parker or Bruce Wayne. They, on the outside, they look just like a normal person, but they have this superpower. And a Christian looks like a normal person, but actually they have this amazing thing about them that can't be seen with the eyes. They are connected to God, who is all-powerful, who created the universe and can do all things. That is an amazing thing, isn't it? But why does it matter? Why do we need that? Why do we need to be connected to Jesus? First of all, I'm going to ask the grown-ups a Bible trivia question. Okay? And it's this. Where do we read about grapevines or vineyards in the Old Testament? You've got to try and think really hard now. It's grapevines or vineyards are actually the type of tree or fruit that's mentioned most in the Bible, in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. Can you think of any times where grapes or grapevines or vineyards are mentioned in the Old Testament? I'll give you some clues. The first one is very early on. It's after the flood. It's not a very pleasant incident. Can you remember someone who planted a vineyard? Anyone?
Noah.
Noah, well done. Yeah, that's the first mention that we read about Noah planting a vineyard and making some wine. What about in the story of Joseph? Can you remember there's something about vines and grapes in one of his dreams? It's not his dreams to do with his family. Yes. That's right, yes. It's in the dream of the Pharaoh's butler or cupbearer. And he has this dream of a vine and it ends up that this dream has a meaning and Joseph interprets it. That's another one. What about any more? Can you think of any other ones? The more you think, the more you'll realise that there's lots. There's one to do with some people who went to spy out the promised land. You remember that one? What was that one? I can tell you know, Laurie, because you're smiling. That's it. Yeah, that's right. The Israelites who went to spy out the promised land came back, do you remember, with a massive bunch of really large grapes that it was so heavy they had to carry on a pole between two people. So there's lots of times grapes, vines, vineyards are mentioned in the Bible, and they're also mentioned a lot in the prophets, in Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. Vineyards, or vines, are used as a picture of Israel. And another place you see that also is in Psalm 80. I'm just going to read a few verses from that. So in Psalm 80, this is from verse 8 to 15, we read, "You transplanted a vine from Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it, and it took root and filled the land. The mountains were covered with its shade, the mighty cedars with its branches. Its branches reached as far as the sea, its shoots as far as the river. Why have you broken down its walls so that all who pass by pick up its grapes? Boars from the forest ravage it, and insects from the field feed on it. Return to us, God Almighty. Look down from heaven and see. Watch over this vine, the roots your right hand has planted, the sun you have raised up for yourself." So, here Israel, God's people, is compared to a vine, and God as the gardener, the one who's planted this vine and who looks after it. Just like a gardener takes care of the vine, God looks after Israel, his people, in the Old Testament. And this is part of the big story of the Bible. The Bible warns us that sin has come into the world and that is bringing about God's judgment. But the Bible tells this story about how God is saving a people. And it starts off with Abraham and his descendants and becomes the nation of Israel, the people that God is saving to himself. He saves them from Egypt and he blesses them and looks after them in the promised land. And sometimes when they're not doing what's right, God has to take away his care for a time. And so in this psalm, the psalmist is praying that God would look after his vine again, look after his people. So the vine symbolizes here the people that God is growing, that he's saving and caring for. So go back to John chapter 15 and verse 1 and look at what Jesus says again here. He says, "I am the true vine. And my Father is the vine dresser." He's taking that language from the Old Testament about this people God is saving, and now he's applying it to himself. So Jesus is saying that he is the true vine now. In Old Testament times, you had to join Israel to be part of the vine, the people that God was saving. But now Jesus is saying, "I am the true vine. It's through me that God is saving people." So that's why you need to be connected to me. That's how you become part of the vine and stay in the vine. So we're thinking about that question, why do we need to be connected to Jesus, the vine? And this is the first part of the answer: to be saved. We need to be connected to Jesus to be saved, to be part of that people that God is saving. And this is part of who Jesus is. He is the one, the only one, through whom we can be saved. Being connected to Jesus through faith in him brings salvation, brings forgiveness, eternal life. He gives us his Holy Spirit through being connected to him. So the application of this is very simple. What we do with Christ is really important. According to Jesus, it's the deciding factor of whether a person is part of the people of God, part of the vine that God is saving. We need to be connected to Christ. What's the next part of the answer? Let's read again some verses from John chapter 15. And I want you to try to spot what word keeps repeating in these verses, okay? What word keeps repeating? So in verse 2, "He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. And verses 4 and 5, remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself, it must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. What was the word there? Did you spot the word that appeared lots of times? Anyone? Fruit. Yeah, it was the word fruit. So, this is the next part of the answer. We need to be connected to Jesus to be saved, but also to produce fruit. This is the whole point of having a grapevine, isn't it? To grow grapes. It's not just to look nice, although they do look very nice. But the point of them is to produce grapes, produce fruit. What do you think the fruit is that God wants Christians to produce? Well, we've started to think a little bit about that in those envelopes. And there were some words, many words in there that appear in the Bible. For example, in Galatians, we read this: the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And in this passage that we've read in John chapter 15, love is mentioned in particular as something, as a fruit that Christians should be producing. He says, this is my command, love each other. So God wants more for us than simply being in the vine. He wants us to grow, to change, and to produce fruit. We can't do that unless we're connected to the vine. And sadly, these little clusters of tiny grapes are no longer going to grow. They're going to stay like that and just dry out. If this had remained connected, if I hadn't cut it off from the vine, then those, hopefully, would have grown into nice clusters of grapes. That's not going to happen anymore. If we don't remain connected to Jesus, we can't produce fruit. We can't change. And so earlier we did that task with the envelopes, and I asked you to think about the envelope as your heart, and to think of that heart as a fruit tree. So we thought about what fruits, what good qualities you would like to show more of in your life, and which things are the bits that you would like less of. And that was a way for us to think about how we would like to change. But here's the thing, Jesus says that we can't produce any fruit unless we're connected to him. We can't change unless we're connected to him and continue being connected to him. He says this: every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. He's that gardener who wants to see fruit and is looking after the branch. And if we're connected to him, he comes on and he will snip bits off. He does want us to change in ways that we stop behaving in certain ways in order that we produce more fruit. So we need to remain connected to him. And there's ways that we do that. We mentioned some of those things earlier: going to church, reading your Bible, praying, meeting with other Christians. All of those things are important if they help us in this one main way that we continue to remain in Christ, walking with him, continuing to trust in him. As we read his word, Jesus talks about his word remaining in us. As we do that, that's one way where we're allowing the sap, as it were, to come into us and to change us. And by doing those things, we stay connected to him. It's something really important. There's so many self-help books out there and YouTube videos about how to do different things and how to have good qualities and that sort of thing. The Bible tells us the most important thing is that we stay connected to Jesus in our daily lives. We need to be thinking about that. How can I make sure that I'm staying connected to Jesus? Continue following him, continue hearing from him, continuing to open my heart to obey him and to ask for his help, to say sorry when I've done wrong and ask for him to continue to change me. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are the true vine and that we can be connected to you. Thank you that through you we can be forgiven, we can be brought into your family and given new life. We pray that you would help us to remain in you, to remain connected to you each day, at home or at school or at work and in all we do. Help us to listen to your word, to trust you and to depend on you. Lord, we pray that you would grow good fruit in our lives. And where there are things in our lives that are not good, change us, Lord, and shape us, we pray. Pray that you would give us willing hearts when you prune us, even when that's hard. And Lord, we pray especially that you would help us to love one another as you have loved us, to show your love to the people around us. Lord, when we feel weak or far from you and feel disconnected to you, remind us that we can do nothing without you, but with you we can grow and bear much fruit, and help us to turn back quickly to you when we're drifting away. Pray that you would keep us close to you in this coming week. Help us to live in a way that brings glory to you. In your name we pray. Amen.